Yeah, welcome back to the program. We'll take your calls very shortly. Lots to talk about, especially maybe even that way the senators have tried to divert the double dissolution proposal by parking it out into a Senate committee. Anyway, also out today, the electronics retailer Dick Smith, which has failed. I mean, that's it, full stop, end of story. Because receivers have been appointed. It's not administrators, it's receivers. And the next step after that is liquidation. Well, it appears as though, with Ferrier Hodgson doing the work, that perhaps some employees have been underpaid their rights and benefits. Now, it's curious because this could be as much as $2 million. And it's suggested maybe it's annual leave entitlements going back as far as 6 years. It was a statement out today. I know Eli Greenblatt today, senior business reporter at The Australian, who does great work on a lot of this stuff, had been out talking with James Stewart from Ferrier Hodgson, the receivers there. We've got Eli Greenblatt on the line right now. Let's go to him. Eli, thanks for your time with all of this. I know you spoke with James Stewart today. What's the story? It seems odd that this would surface at this time.
Oh, good evening, Ross. It is very strange. I spoke to James. What's happened is they've gone into the books, had a look at how the business was travelling, and it turns out that Dick Smith has underpaid their staff to the tune of about $2 million for about 3,000 staff, going back to 2010. That's 6 years. And it looks to be a problem around the way that annual leave loading was calculated, which you think a modern business, especially one that was owned by Woolworths, then owned by private equity, and then on the share market, they'd better get this right to pay their workers properly. So it's $2 million hole they've discovered will have to be paid back to workers. It's just another headache in this ongoing Dick Smith mess.
Oh, it really is. Now, the other thing also today is there's been another restructure by the receivers, by James Stewart and Ferrier Hodgson. Effectively, it's the group support office operations in Chullora, Western Sydney, 22 support jobs going, and also the departure of the chief financial officer, Michael Potts. Now, you know, it seems as though slowly they're pairing out a whole bunch of different people from that business. What's the gut feel inside there at the moment? Is there an ongoing business likely to be sold and continuing, or is it that really it's going to be curtains down, shutters down for Dick Smith?
Okay, yeah, look, it's not looking very good. And of course, when I spoke to James, he wouldn't comment on the departure of the CFO, Michael Potts, and if that was linked in any way to this huge error in terms of underpayment of wages. But in terms of the business, Ross, look, it's certainly in trouble. It doesn't look good. You know, what is there left to sell? There are parts of the business which are making money, a small amount of profit, but not much. The rest of the business, it's a very large footprint. You're talking hundreds and hundreds of stores across Australia and New Zealand. It's a very tough market. JB Hi-Fi is an amazing competitor. You know, would you want to buy into a brand like Dick Smith? Has the Dick Smith brand been hurt by this? Has it been tarnished? What's left in there? Remember, you know, if you buy Dick Smith, if you're someone who wants to buy it and restart it, you've got to buy stock as well. You've got to fill all those stores with stock, and that's very expensive. Makes it very hard to sell.
And the truth is, even if you try to reconfigure Dick Smith and take it back to its original roots, not what it became, and therefore have all of the little gadgets and the widgets and the thing that actually link your computer to your television or whatever it might be, you know, that's the niche that they were in. But even there are others out there these days who have filled that space.
Well, that's right, fill that space quite easily, especially online. And I think, you know, whatever Dick Smith did stand for, those days are long gone. JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman are just wiping the floor with them. You know, in the dying days of Dick Smith, they decided to get into small home appliances, vacuums, kettles, you know, toasters, which I think was probably a bad move. What is there for Dick Smith to do? What area of the market can it go into that's not already covered by the likes of JB, Harvey Norman, Big W, even Kmart and Target?
Yeah, and the other one, I don't know whether you know them, Eli, but J-Car Electronics do all of the things that Dick Smith used to do. If you were to go and buy yourself, I don't know, a digital microscope or a little AV sender receiver or a flexible LED light, some of widgets and gadgets is what they were great at. And, I mean, that's where they lost touch.
Do they sell soldering irons? I wouldn't mind one of those.
But actually, let me have a look. I'll see if they got one there for you. I'll let you know. We might be able to get one online for you.
Yes. Look, it's
100%. They've got one here for you, Eli. Let's have a look and see how much it's going to cost us. Soldering iron, $16.96. We can get battery power. It'd be perfect.
I used to love playing around with those when I was a kid.
You see, Dick Smith didn't sell soldering irons. What was going on there?
Well, I don't know, but they've got into some really strange products. They got into private label, which just didn't work. You know, their TVs, I think, were viewed as okay. But yeah, I think people, you know, when they buy electronics, they want the brand. They don't necessarily want private label. Then, of course, there's the whole question mark, Ross, about the way that the business was treated by private equity and what was done to it for the float. Remember, you know, Dick Smith, in the last 6 years, sorry, in the last 4 years, has, you know, really had four owners: Woolworths, then private equity, Anchorage, then the share market, now the administrators or the banks who control it. I don't know what's left, really. Why, you know, you'd be pretty brave and pretty courageous in this market to buy it and think you can recharge it and redo it. Especially, you know, JB is so strong right now. Harvey Norman is incredibly strong in retail.
And then you've got Bingley. You've got the whole lot of them out there as really well. The good guys, they're all out there competing in a big, big way. So, yeah, this is the problem of them. Trying to find somebody who actually wants to buy it and then stock it, I think, is going to be the real issue. Eli Greenblatt, very good senior business reporter at The Australian and enthusiastic solderer. And Eli, I think I've got for what you need. Markdown from $115 to $97.75. The Portisolo Super Pro soldering iron will have tip temperature up to 580 degrees Celsius. I think that's the pro thing that you need. It looks very good. Gas powered as well.
Sounds very dangerous, but lots of fun.
Mate, I've got to tell you, always good. Eli Greenblatt.